the book of Psalms in Psalm number 19. I anticipated not having a whole lot of time to preach and therefore chose to prepare to have a shorter message prepared. To wrap it all up, the value of one, getting us back to the basics, back to what is really important in a missions conference. Here we go, Psalm 19, verse 1. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Verse 2. "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun," verse 5, "which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the insight that you give us by means of your Holy Spirit teaching us. I pray now that you would help me to clearly communicate your word. Help me to do so faithfully. I pray that you would help us to listen to the very, very basic truths that I desire, that I believe you desire to communicate from your word, and help us to obey them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Critics of the Bible, people who do not believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, will try to tell us that Psalm 19 is actually three psalms put together into one. Whether out of convenience or on accident, they'll try to tell us that Psalm 19 is actually three psalms, and they're just thrown together. There's no connection between the three units. If we take just a superficial look at the psalm like we just did, just reading over it, it does appear that we are looking at three separate topics here with little or no connection. Because in verses 1 through 6, David is talking about creation. Verse 7, there's really no transition whatsoever. All the way through verse 10, he's talking about God's written word. And then in verse 11, there's a little bit of a transition, but really he's just pouring his heart out to God and telling God how he desires to be right with God. And so, because we do believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, we do believe that this psalm was given to us as a unit on purpose. I realize not all of the chapter divisions in the Bible are inspired, but in the Psalms, this is the Old Testament hymn book. This was given to us as a unit by God. We have to ask ourselves, what is the connection between these three topics? I believe that one of the threads that connects all three of these topics is that all three of them are witnesses to God. First of all, in verses 1 through 6, we're looking at creation. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This is encouraging for missionaries who struggle with a language barrier. I praise the Lord that I will not be struggling with that in Germany. I already speak the language, but so often missionaries come over and they struggle to communicate what they're trying to say. For instance, there was one missionary, our co-worker at the time, he was giving a sermon illustration there in Germany, and he said, you know, all of us, we have kind of relative points of view. Someone might come in and say, man, it's roasting in here. It feels like 80 degrees. And someone else might come in and say, man, it feels cold in here. It feels like 60 degrees. And as he's giving this illustration, everyone in the congregation is sitting there staring at him with a blank look. Because they're thinking in their minds, it doesn't matter, 60 or 80 degrees, we're all dead. They're thinking in Celsius, okay? You're roasting, you're completely burning up at 60 or 80 degrees Celsius. 40 is like R120, I think. So anyway, that language barrier does not exist with creation. All of creation points to God. You can isolate yourself. The lost could try and isolate themselves, lock themselves in a concrete cell where everything is man-made, but they're still trapped inside their body. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everywhere the lost go, they bump into God. God is there, declaring His majesty, His glory, declaring His might. There are things that we can learn about God just from looking at creation. For instance, we can learn that God is powerful. We can learn that God is infinite. For instance, take the stars. Okay? There are there's a society out there, I think they're connected with NASA, that is furiously naming the stars, all right? Because there's so many stars out there that we've found. They're trying to name them all, get labels on them to get some order in all the stuff that we've found with our telescopes. And for a fee, you can go on their website, you can request to have a star named after you, all right? And they'll name a star after you. Whoop-dee-doo. Do you realize that with the world's current population, we've got more than 7 billion people in the world now, there are enough stars out there, just the ones we found with our puny little telescopes, there are enough stars out there for every individual in this world to have 14 galaxies named after them. The heavens declare the glory of God. We can learn that God has unlimited resources. Take just the sun, for instance. We as Americans, I realize we've just gone through a recession, but we're still the wealthiest country in the world. I think it was last Christmas we spent more on Christmas than 70 other countries combined. All right, the average shopper on Black Friday spent, I believe it was $400. That's average. That's including me. I walk in, I buy a pair of socks at 8 a.m. I don't get up at 5 a.m. or midnight or 10 p.m. the night before. I walk in and I go, hey, these are on sale. That's about the extent of my Black Friday shopping, if I even go out. But we as Americans, we have so much money. If we wanted to pay the energy bill that it takes to run the sun, because the sun burns off massive amounts of gases every second, every minute, every day, it would take the gross domestic product of the United States for the next 7 million years to power the sun for 1 second. God has unlimited resources. That's encouraging to me as a missionary who's trying to raise support to get to Germany. God's not sitting there in heaven going, where am I going to come up with enough money to send the Petersons to Germany? That's not His problem. He's got ministry for us to do right here, right now. He's preparing those folks that you saw in those pictures for us to get there at just the right time. God's timing is perfect. I think of Christ when He came, when the fullness of time was come. God's timing is perfect, isn't it? But the heavens declare the glory of God. There's so much we can learn about God just from looking at creation. Some very fundamental things. We can learn that God is a God of beauty. Take a microscope, take a telescope, and God will blow you away, big or small. But most unbelievers will not look at that and say, there's got to be more. There has to be intelligent design. I was driving through Colorado. It was November, driving west through the mountains. The sun was setting. Snow was falling on the mountains. And the sun was shining through the snow that was falling on the mountains. It looked like there were 500-600 foot flames coming off of the mountain. Absolutely breathtaking! And yet the lost, they'll look at that and say, wow, that all happened. What are the chances? The chances are zero, by the way, less than zero. But folks, most unbelievers will not look at creation and say there has to be an intelligent designer. There has to be more. There are a few who, I believe, through the divine enabling of God, seek more light. But most of them look at that and say, wow, it all happened. That brings us to our second witness. Verse 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We do not believe that someone can just look at a tree and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They need more information than what they find in creation. Yes, that can be a starting point. Yes, it can cause them to start to seek more light, but they have to have the Word of God in order to come into a right relationship with God. There are people who come to God just from looking at God's Word. I was talking with a man when he was in the military. He was unsaved at the time. And he really wanted to know what this Christianity stuff was all about. He said, so everyone else went on leave. I had time off as well. But I stayed in the barracks that housed 250 guys. Everyone else was gone. I stayed. And he said, I walked down the street into a library. I stole a Bible from the library. Don't know why he couldn't just check it out. He stole it. And he said, I brought it back, sat down on my cot, and just started reading in Genesis. He said, I got bogged down pretty fast. He said, didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, so I thought, I'll give it one more chance. I stuck my hand in and flipped over to Romans. He said, so I started reading in Romans. He said, I got to chapter number 10 and verses 9 and 10 and 13, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart, shalt confess with thy mouth. He said, and of course, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, the light bulb came on. And I realized what I needed to do. I said, Lord, I place my faith in you. I confess my sins. He said, when I did that, it was like this huge burden was lifted from me. He said, it felt so good. I actually said out loud, Lord, this feels so good. Somebody should be telling people about this. And God said, yeah, you. But we'll get to that in a minute. Folks, the Word of God on its own has the power to do that. He said, I don't know what was more difficult, though, stealing the Bible in the first place or then as a believer having to return it. But he did return it. And that man, by the way, now is a pastor and is now reaching lost individuals with the gospel of Christ. Praise the Lord. My mom read to me about a man years and years ago. He lived in Persia, modern-day Iran, and he was walking through an open marketplace. He came to a cheese vendor. He said, I'd like a chunk of that cheese, please. So the man cut him off a chunk of the cheese, placed it on a book, ripped a page out of the book, wrapped the cheese in the page of that book. Pardon me. My cell phone's ringing. Well, that's embarrassing. No, I'm not answering it. Thanks, Dad. That's Jenny's dad calling me. I better turn it off because he'll try again. Jenny, is your phone off? He'll call you next. Gotta love him. Anyway, this man took that cheese home that was wrapped in the page of that book, sat down for supper with his family, unwrapped it. They ate their supper, ate the cheese. And while they were sitting there, he didn't have anything better to do, so he smoothed out that cheese wrapper and he read the front side out loud. And they all thought that was pretty interesting. So he read the backside. And now they were hooked. They wanted to know more. So the next day he went back to that cheese vendor. He said, I'd like another piece of that cheese. Please make sure you wrap it in a page of that book. I'm guessing he asked for it to be double wrapped, and I think he bought a few other pieces of cheese along the way. But pretty soon that man and his family had enough of God's word to come into a right relationship with God. They got saved! Praise the Lord! Just from reading the Bible. It does happen where people accept Jesus Christ just because they read a gospel tract. But folks, most unbelievers still need this third witness, and we find him in verse 11. The Bible says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is David pouring out his heart, asking God, help me to be an accurate reflection of who you are. Help me to be a faithful witness to who God is. You realize that you and I, we are ambassadors. Not for the puny United States of America. We are ambassadors for God Almighty. Good morning! Hello, are we awake? We get to represent God. That is a huge privilege, but also burden, isn't it? To realize that people are looking at you, judging your Heavenly Father based on your behavior. When I was in college, I met lots of young people, my own age at the time. Now I'm getting older, my hair's falling out. Lots of young people, many of whom their parents I never met. But I would pass judgment, consciously or subconsciously, on those people and their parents based on their behavior. This kid over here, he loved the Lord. He did his homework. He cleaned his room. He knew what his major was. He didn't change his major 42 times. He had it together. I figured his parents probably had it together too. This kid over here, he went to bed at 5 a.m. when he was finally done playing his dumb computer game. He didn't care how many times he flunked the same class. Mommy and Daddy kept paying for him to take it again. He had 20 empty Mountain Dew bottles under his bed that should have gone in the recycling, cookie crumbs that should have gone in the trash, and a laundry monster that reached to the windowsill and reeked like the Dickens. The guy was a slob! And I figured his parents were probably slobs too. Folks, people are looking at you, they're looking at me, judging our Heavenly Father based on our behavior, what we say and what we do. Are we faithful representatives of who God is? We have to have both. We have to be faithful in word and in deed. We can't do just one or the other. There are people over here, they got their sanctification ducks in a row, they got their list of do's and don'ts, they got their dress code, but they don't ever open their mouth boldly to proclaim the Word of God. Then there are people over here. I didn't realize they existed until I worked with one. They'll talk about God until they're blue in the face. They go to church even, but they're the biggest hypocrites out there. I worked with a guy. His name was Larry. And Larry would come to work with a hangover. Couldn't wait to get his next paycheck to pay off his gambling debt. He'd go in the back room there at Walmart, and he'd peel all of the coupons off of the Pepsi 24 packs that said a dollar off your next 24 pack. He'd peel those off and stick them in his pocket. And yet he'd come up to you and say, hey, what church do you go to? Let me invite you to my church. Let me tell you about God. If I got to somebody there at Walmart, tried to witness to him, and Larry had already gotten to him, they'd say, oh yeah, thanks, Larry already talked to me. I don't need that. My answer to them, by the way, and you'll probably run into this, where people stumble over hypocrites among our ranks, my answer to them is, don't you trip over Larry on your way to heaven. Larry is going to give account for himself, and you're going to give account for yourself. Larry may spend the rest of eternity in hell. I don't know. Maybe he's a backslidden Christian. Maybe he's not a Christian at all. But you make sure that your relationship with God, first of all, exists and then is right. Folks, we have to be a faithful witness both in word and in deed. I saw a bumper sticker and someone informed me later that it's a Gandhi quote is what it is. It said, I like your Christ, but not your Christians. I'm afraid too often that rings true, doesn't it? I like your Christ, just not your Christians. To me, that voices someone's desire to become a Christian. They see the attractiveness of the gospel, the attractiveness of Christ, and yet they don't see too many people truly following Christ as his disciple. Folks, you are representing God Almighty. You are that third witness. Yes, the unbelievers, they have creation to witness God. They have the Word of God that gives them the answers to all of life's ultimate questions. And yet most of them need you to bring the gospel to them personally for them to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We have to be a faithful witness, but are we doing it? Are you a faithful witness both in word and in deed? We have to have both, folks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this privilege to share the gospel with the lost. Father, you've given the lost your creation, the heavens, to declare your glory. You've given them your word that gives them all the information they need to know to have a right relationship with you. And yet you've given them us as believers to share the gospel with them. I pray that you would help us to be faithful in doing so.